Hello, and thank you for listening to the Hope Relentless Marriage Podcast, where we talk about all things marriage. We're honored to spend some time with you, and well done on investing in your relationship. It matters. Our goal is to encourage and equip you in your incredible adventure of marriage, whether you're in a low place or a high place. This is for us, those courageous enough to believe we can actually change the world, one marriage at a time, starting with our own. Please connect with us on our website, hoperelentless.com. And remember, there is always, always hope. Hello, and welcome to the Hope Relentless Marriage Podcast. My name is Sarah Gale, and joining me is my amazing husband, Chad. And we are honored that you would listen to whatever it is that we would say. And the hope is that you would be able to apply it and just recognize that you are changing the world, because marriages impact families. Families impact communities, and communities impact the world. So well done.
That's right, world changers. It is so good to be with you today, no matter where you are as you're listening to this podcast. Our prayer and our hope is that you are encouraged and strengthened to make your marriage the best that it can be. And so today we are talking about an incredibly important topic, and that is the topic of serving your spouse. Dun, dun, dun. A little bit of what just went through your head when you heard the topic serving your spouse. And so the reality is, on YouTube, on podcast, we can see when people stop listening. And this might be one of those topics that people disengage from. And the sad thing is, the idea of serving for many of us is the exact thing that'll help take our marriage to the next level. It isn't always natural, but serving is incredibly impactful to transform the environment and really to create the day-to-day atmosphere that many of us want to be a part of in our marriage. And so what do you think of when you hear the word serving your spouse? Are there key areas that you think of? Are there roles? Are there moments? Are there activities? How long has it been since you last served your spouse in a meaningful way that maybe they would recognize or remember? This idea of serving is so important. And so we want to take a look at some of the nitty-gritty, some of the great things and some of the difficult things around this topic, because we really believe our marriages are important. And having a servant's heart is a key characteristic or pattern of marriages that are thriving and enjoying the day to day.
And I want to take a moment to just demystify the definition, the connotation, if you will, of serving, just as far as how we mean it on this podcast. And it's really being kind. It's going out of your way to do something that maybe you wouldn't like do naturally, but you recognize the other person would appreciate. It's going that extra mile when you're perfectly fine going the 1 mile. It's going the extra mile because, again, the person would appreciate it. It honors the person. And so it's not one of those things where we're serving because we're in like some forced labor type of environment or in some kind of authoritative type of environment. So that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our own free will. And we are wanting to be kind through the things that we're doing for another person. And in this scenario, our spouse. So it's interesting. Actually, I just want to comment on this. In our signature for Hope Relentless, we have here to serve. You know, we sign off as here to serve. And it is, for Chad and I, it's something that through and through is our heart posture. It's like, yeah, we recognize we make a living off of what we do. Let's not get it twisted, right? Like, we make a living. But our heart posture is truly to serve those who would reach out for marital help and to come alongside and to make sure that they know that we are with them. We are hopeful with them. As long as they're willing, we're willing. And so that truly is why we have that sign off if you've ever received an email from us. So back to some of this when it comes to marriage, though. When it comes to marriage, a lot of times there's a reason that we don't serve. And a lot of times we can see the benefits, if you will, of serving that go beyond just being kind to the person, but that we can personally feel. Before I jump into that, though, I want to talk about something in addition that's a little bit of a caveat. Sometimes I think it's really relevant, or not relevant, it's common for us to take a word like serving and knowing that it's been abused in the way it has been abused, we can stick with that connotation of the word. And so it has like a negative cloud when it comes to the word. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's something that you've experienced where you feel like you've been abused in this area, you've been taken advantage of, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more to come, that I just want to encourage you to be open to how we are describing serving and how we are talking about it. Because just because someone used this and tried to take advantage or abuse the term doesn't mean that that's what we have to continue to perpetuate. We can redeem the term, if you will, and use it in its original intent, which is to honor people and to come alongside people.
Yeah, I love that thought, babe, because I think, you know, earlier you were talking about the definition. And part of what I think is serving at its best is a natural overflow of love towards another person. Mm. And so when I am serving at its best, purest form, I'm not serving because I feel less than. Mm-hmm. I'm not serving as some source of manipulation. I am serving because I genuinely love you. And a natural overflow is to contribute and add value to each other's day. Mm-hmm. I think another reason or something to recognize for us, I don't always feel like serving you, right? Mm-hmm. And there are times where my humanity can kick in and I can justify all sorts of things. Maybe I can justify, well, you don't deserve to be served, or I've been serving for a while. It's my turn to receive. And I think one of the things a lot of times when we work with couples is this idea of not weaponizing something as an expectation that your spouse does, but really an opportunity individually, right? So if I listen to this podcast on serving and my takeaway is, yeah, babe, you should do that. Like, I've totally missed the point, right? But if my takeaway is, hey, how can I serve my spouse? Now we're operating, I think, in a vein that can really impact relationships and marriages. And sometimes for us, like, you know, the reality is we serve as a representation of our faith. And so in Mark chapter 10, referring to Jesus, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And so for us as Christians, this kind of sets the standard for what it looks like. And you know, if Jesus served humanity, then the reality is I should follow that path, because I am no more worthy to be served by others than Jesus was. And if he said, nope, still going to take on the role of serving. And so I think for you and I, while I might come short of that standard from time to time, it doesn't change the target that I'm trying to hit. The target is to be more like Jesus. And Jesus said, it's better to serve. Right. And so that's kind of where this comes from. But I think that this creates power in the environment. So what are your kind of thoughts on how does serving impact the environment of marriages?
Yeah, I think it really impacts the environment because it's counterculture, to be honest. It looks different than a typical marriage because it's oozing with vulnerability, if you will. It's almost like a freedom. It's a vulnerability that ends up being a freedom to just put your guard down and to love someone in a way where, yeah, you might feel like you can be taken advantage of, but it's like you're loving as if that would never happen. I don't know if I'm making sense. I feel very poetic as I'm as I'm thinking of what happens to the environment when we serve one another. I think of that story in the Bible where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And it was really confusing because the disciples are like, whoa, 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 we should be washing your feet. And Jesus gets low and he's like, no, like, you know, unless you serve as I'm serving, you have no place with me, basically. It's like, do as I am doing. And so it was confusing because the disciples thought they knew the order of things and what should be done. But when Jesus did something no one was expecting, it was this beautiful moment of almost like a humility. When I was reading that portion of scripture, it made me feel like, wow, like no one is above, you know, like truly like greater is the one who is serving than the one who is being served, in a sense, because that's what Jesus did. That's the example. And so it keeps you humble, and it almost helps you to look for more opportunities to kind of shock the room or shock your spouse, because it is so life-giving when we can catch someone off guard by our willingness to do something that they don't expect at all. If anything, they think that they should be doing, but we kind of beat them to it, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so powerful. And you know, you think about just the sowing and reaping principle, like serving falls into that principle to me.
Yeah.
A lot of times when working with couples, a common desire is respect. And there's this element of demanding respect because one spouse is disrespectful to the other one. And this is kind of the beginning of a transactional relationship. You do that and I'll do it back. But oftentimes when working with couples, we see they're both waiting for the other person to do what they want. Well, serving completely disrupts that pattern.
Yeah, that's
good. So it's like, okay, I want an environment of respect. That's what I would appreciate. How do I contribute to creating that environment, right? Oh, I want an environment of gratitude and appreciation. How do I contribute to that environment? And kind of the principle of sowing and reaping, or the principle of reciprocity, like over time, those actions are going to win out. And I think this is the biggest challenge for couples to make the transition. They've fallen into a pattern of transactional, where they're both withholding what they actually want. And the way to fix that is to give it, and not just once or twice. And I think that's where the vulnerability can come in, because sometimes I could start serving you day after day after day, and maybe you don't respond or react right away. But what we see in our own marriage in different seasons, and what we see in working with other couples, this attitude and environment of serving unconditionally, like it wins out. It creates better environments that we both want to be a part of. And so I think it's just so powerful. Let's talk maybe about, why is this hard? What are some of the obstacles that we face? What are some of the obstacles that couples face when it comes to creating an environment of serving?
Yeah, I think kind of what you were saying a moment ago, it's like you're saying it wins out eventually. And I think there is a fear that it won't win out, you know, like that as I'm serving, as I'm sowing, that I will be a doormat, you know? And
yeah,
I think the reality is, yeah, sowing and reaping, that's a spiritual concept, and it's a true concept. And I think we just have to be careful, because if we are trying to control what the result looks like and the timing of all of that, then we could get frustrated, because at the end of the day, you know, as we are serving, as we are, you know, being generous in our acts, in our words, we can grow in confidence because we know that we are doing what is good, you know, just to say it, what is good, you know, we're doing what is good. And there's this verse, and I've said this before, it's like, as long as it's in James, and it's as long as you know the good you are to do and you do not do it, it is sin for you. And so the point is, it doesn't matter what's happening around us. When we know the good we are to do, let's do it, because it does raise our confidence. And even on a deeper level, you know, Jesus was able to wash the disciples' feet because he knew who he was. And so yeah, I think one of the fears is, yeah, it's a doormat and then I'll be taken advantage of. But it's like, wow, let's hold on. If you know who you are, and you know that you are worthy, you are valuable, and out of that place you're serving, then wow, that is a pure heart, in the sense of, hey, I'm not doing this just to see the result. I'm doing this because it's who I am. And I know that as I can get low It doesn't mean I am low. It means that I know who I am. And because of that, I am pouring out onto others goodness, goodness upon goodness. And so that's a big difference, because some of us might try to serve to people please, which is a different thing. You know, yeah. We might serve because we feel insecure and we think it's going to get us love, which is a different thing. So yeah. That's what I would say to that first thing.
Yeah, there's kind of two thoughts I have carrying on. The first one is, if you were dating or engaged, I would consider this serving concept heavily, right? Mm. Like, do you have a relationship that is servant-minded for one another? And if you do, then that's probably a great sign. It isn't the only thing that creates a great marriage for the long term, but it is valuable, because there are different seasons in marriage where, for whatever reason, one person might be out contributing the other one in different areas, right? There's just different seasons of life. And when we have a servant's heart, it doesn't matter. We're able to navigate those seasons, supporting and encouraging and cheering each other on, knowing that different seasons and stressors and excitement and opportunities fluctuate. Like, life is full of transitions, and serving helps us navigate those transitions and the various obstacles well. And so if you're dating or engaged, I would, you know, consider this as something to prioritize and value in a way that you contribute to the relationship, but also kind of take some inventory. The other thing is, if you're married, and I think this can be a little bit what Sarah Gale's talking about, the concern of this doormat mentality. Sometimes I think a better question is, regardless of how my spouse shows up, how do I want to show up? Right? And is withholding from your spouse how you would want to be described or characterized, regardless of what they do? Or serving. Like, man, that person just has a servant's heart. Man, that person serves and loves well. And I think for most of us, there's kind of a clear answer to that question. Like, how do we want to show up as the best version of ourselves, regardless of how other people are showing up? But the other thing is recognizing this isn't always easy. You know, this is something that in our humanity, we wrestle with. I know I do daily, right? Like, man, if I cook dinner and clean up dinner a couple nights in a row, like, I can start to take notice and be like, hey, but I think those things potentially become dividers, as opposed to, you know, hey, if this is a way that I can contribute to my family or contribute to my marriage in a meaningful way, then I'm going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. I like that, Chad, because I think a lot of times when we think about roles, like household roles and chores and all that, we start to keep track and it becomes one of those things where it's like, I'm doing everything. And I was even thinking that if we start to reframe that, when we are cooking dinner, it's not like, oh, I got to cook dinner. It's like, I'm serving my family. I'm in this way. Like, I'm serving the family by doing A, B, or C, by cleaning or whatever. I think that reframe is incredibly powerful, because it turns it to, this is what I have to do, to this is what I'm choosing to do to serve my family, because they're important to me and I want to pour goodness out on them. So that's one thing I was thinking of. But then another thing is, like you're saying, it's not the easiest thing to do all the time, because I think we are naturally selfish people. Like, let's be honest, we want to be served. I want my feet rubbed. Actually, my hands rubbed. Hands are way better than feet being rubbed, by the way. But like, I want that. And so it requires intentionality truly to serve one another, because it's, like I said, it's counterculture, it's counterintuitive. And so it's being mindful of, okay, what would my spouse appreciate, you know, in this moment, getting my focus off myself and what I feel like I need or I want, and thinking about, okay, well, how can I meet someone else's need? In this case, my spouse's need. So it does take that intentionality.
Yeah. And so I think as we get ready to close this particular podcast, just want to ask a couple questions. And, you know, really, what is holding you back from serving your spouse? And maybe another question is, what action can you take today that would be serving your spouse? And then go for it. Like, this is kind of one of those areas that immediately starts to produce fruit, right? It doesn't necessarily, it's not about changing or controlling our spouse. It's about playing a part and having a positive impact into the environment of our home. And serving will do that. It is a powerful way to lead. And regardless of whether you're the husband or whether you're the wife, I encourage and challenge you to serve intentionally, both when you feel like it and to push through in those times that you don't, and watch the impact that it has on your marriage and on the environment of your day to day.
I love that. And the final thing I want to say just on all of this is, it really makes a difference. It disrupts an environment in a good way. And our kids are watching. Those of us who have kids, our kids are watching. And it's incredible to see them start to be proactive in looking for, how can I serve? What is the need in this room? And how can I meet it? How can I be the solution? Serving takes us from, you know, passive and waiting to, how can I be the solution? How can I be the difference that I want to see in this world? And so it's an exciting opportunity that we all get to do. And I just want to encourage you, just like Chad said, let's make it happen. Let's do it. And so I want to transition us into our appreciation time. So appreciation time. This is when we appreciate one another, because it's so important in the lifeline of a marriage to show that gratitude, to focus in and to recognize and appreciate one another. So Chad, David, one thing that I appreciate about you is how you serve me by making my coffee. Even though I say I don't drink coffee, we all know I drink coffee, and you make it, and you make it the best. It literally tastes different when you make it. So thank you.
You are welcome. One of the things I appreciate, as we're recording this, it is the week of Easter, and we have little things showing up at our house. And one of the things I appreciate is that you create an environment of celebration and gifts for our sons. And so oftentimes the different holidays, Easter, Valentine's Day, birthdays, Christmas, like whatever they are, going back to school, finishing another school year, I just really appreciate the way that you create small moments of celebration in our family. And so I appreciate that.
Thank you. All right. Well, hopefully you are inspired to go out and be a world changer by impacting the atmosphere through serving. And I just want to tell you, you know, no matter where you are at in your marriage right now, that I encourage you to stay encouraged, because anything can happen, anything. And there's always, always hope.